Hello and welcome to the Success Showcase. I'm your host, Eric Lopkin from the Modern Observer Group. And with me as always is Chip Januszewski from the Happiness and Success GPS. Chip, how are you doing?
Doing great. Back from vacation, all refreshed. And how do we do this again? I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Yeah, we've got to remind ourselves. Yeah, took a few weeks off. But now we are back in the swing of things. And today we are turning back the clock. We are talking about a book that was published in 1910 called The Science of Getting Rich. And for those of you who haven't heard of this book, I know that the title seems very strange, but this is actually the book that inspired The Secret. So there are a lot of books now that all got their start from The Science of Getting Rich. So we figured we'd go back and take a look at the original.
Yeah, this was really the one that got the whole law of attraction movement going. And as you said, it's over 100 years old.
Exactly. And one of the things, the first time I read it, one of the things that really struck me was how much he was talking, even though he used religious terms, because in 1910 they didn't know otherwise, a lot of the concepts he's talking about are basics in quantum physics. And of course, there was no quantum physics in 1910. They hadn't discovered any of this. But the science is actually catching up to what he was talking about, showing that there really was a science behind his writings.
Yeah, it was way, way, way ahead of its time. And, the book, it's less than 100 pages, at least the copy that I have. And it's got very succinct chapters. It's got a really, really great summary at the end. The summary kind of goes through absolutely everything that's in the book in a very, very logical sequence. And it all starts with what he calls thinking stuff. And thinking stuff today, you can talk about it being energy, getting down to the smallest particle that we're all made of. But that's where he started it. And he said there is a thinking stuff from which all things are made and which in its original state permeates, penetrates, and fills the interspaces of the universe. For a statement that is 108 years old, that is amazing. And that's how it all starts. And he just goes through the whole logical sequence of things.
Yeah, it really is amazing how intuitively he understood the universe. I mean, he called things thinking stuff. Some of what he called thinking stuff we now know as dark matter. Some of what he referred to as thinking stuff we know as tachyons and neutrinos and all different particles that had not been discovered yet. So he grouped all of this together as thinking stuff. And his entire philosophy is that all of this reacts scientifically. And he talks primarily about what he calls the certain way. And it's a great phrase because it has a dual meaning. Because he talks about doing things in a certain way. And if you follow that certain way, then you'll get predictable responses. However, it also means to do things certainly. To have that positive attitude, to be certain about what you're doing. So the certain way that he discusses throughout the entire book really has two meanings, and both of them are very important.
Yeah, he puts together all the components of this, and the certain way is how you must, call it a formula. You have to use this formula for success in this certain way. Otherwise, things are not going to work out. And he talks about a lot of things we've talked about in the past, which is gratitude and things like that. But going along the sequence here, he says there's the thinking stuff, then its original state permeates, penetrates, and fills the interspaces of the universe. Now, talk about how the law of attraction got started. The next statement is a thought in this substance produces the thing that is imaged by the thought. And he talks about forming things in his thought, impressing things, believing, being creative instead of competitive, a lot of those different things. But he just takes you along this logical sequence in the certain way that you were talking about.
Right. When he talks about putting that imprint on the thinking stuff, I do love that he takes a back step and explains that, yes, when you put your impression into this thinking stuff, no, what you imagined is not going to magically appear before you. It's going to happen naturally. So I think he says something about, if you imagine a thing, that thing isn't going to suddenly appear, but the forces will be moved so that the raw materials that make that will be mined and it'll be assembled, and step by step, it will get to you.
Yeah, he talks about the person must pass from the competitive to the creative mind. In other words, if you're just doing it for yourself and whatever, it's not going to work for you. But you have to pass from the competitive to the creative mind, and then you get in harmony with the formless intelligence, which is always creative and never competitive in spirit. So he's getting very, very deep there. And, it's all about visualizing, beginning with the end in mind, like we talked about, and just visualizing, believing that what you're looking at is going to come true. And it's that kind of things. You can't have a negative thought in the world that this is not going to happen, because as soon as doubt creeps in, you're done with this process. You have to start all over again.
Right. And that switch from the competitive to the creative mindset is so important. And one of the things that he hammers in over and over again is that you have to accept the fact that things are not limited. It's not either or. It's not if you have it, someone else can't. And if someone else has it, you can't. There's always enough for everybody. And switching to that mindset is so important, because it, aside from his certain way with imprinting into the thinking stuff, it also allows you to free yourself from that stress that goes, if someone else has it, I have to work harder than that because I have to get it from them. And it changes your entire outlook when you understand that it's not a zero-sum game. For you to succeed, other people don't have to fail.
No, and that's what being in full harmony of the formless substances is. He talks about the best way to get into that is by entertaining a lively and sincere gratitude for the blessings bestowed upon him. He says, gratitude unifies the minds of the individuals with the intelligence of substance so that the person's thoughts are received by the formless. And again, we're going back 108 years, and here we are talking about gratitude back then. It's just a lot of this stuff, it's always been, and he was really the first one to write about it and put it in logical sequence, but it makes so much sense. And this is what really got Rhonda Byrne turned around. She's the author of The Secret. And she talked about, everything in her life going south and so on and so forth. And then she picked up this book, The Science of Getting Rich, and the movement in 2008 or whatever started again for the Law of Attraction. And this is the book that got it going. It also influenced Napoleon Hill, Think and Grow Rich. Same concepts.
Yeah, it is the original self-help book. It has inspired so many people, and it also has its own sequels. There was also The Science of Getting Well that takes the same principles and applies it to your own health. It's absolutely amazing how he was able to see this stuff in 1910, when so many people are first discovering it now.
Yeah. And I've always been a positive thinker and so on and so forth. But when The Secret came out, it was actually given to me by a friend of mine. And that's where I said, OK, what's the secret? What's this law of attraction? And this is what it talked about. And I had never heard of the book The Science of Getting Rich. And so I immediately went and got that. And that it's a little over an hour listen on an Audible tape too, if you want to listen there. And you can download the PDF. It's public domain, as you said, because it's so old. You can download the whole book. And the summary at the end is just two pages that has all these different statements that go together.
Yeah, and so much has come from the book, even more so than other books. You can go online and get exercises to help you, you know, go through the certain way. There's different things all around that help you go through this. I actually was introduced to The Science of Getting Rich before The Secret came out. So when The Secret had come out, my first reaction was, oh, it's The Science of Getting Rich. But I was introduced to it by someone I was working with. And she swore by it. And I went, okay, you know, I'll take a look. And I'll admit, I was very skeptical. You know, it's something from 1910. How apropos could it be to the 21st century? And reading through it, I was absolutely flabbergasted, because it still stands up. It really stands up to the test of time.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's really a textbook. That's what it's all about. Whereas Rhonda Byrne's book was really more practical knowledge and this and that, whatever. And she had a whole bunch of guest people on there talking about experiences in their lives. This is actually a how-to textbook. This is a course. That's the way I look at it.
It really is. And it has sprung up an entire industry of things around it, where you can get courses based on the book. You can get, as I said, exercises based on it. And it really comes down to such simplicity. And it comes down to your mindset. And it comes down to process. Doing things in the right way, or as he says, the certain way. When you do it that way each time, you will always get the results you're looking for.
It says, holding the mental image in your thoughts while being deeply, deeply grateful to the Supreme that all your desires are being granted to you. And the person who wants to get rich must spend his leisure hours contemplating that vision in earnest thanksgiving that the reality is being given to him. So it comes a lot with faith and belief and just putting really unconditional trust in the whole process. You don't try and figure out how it's going to happen. You just have to accept that it's going to and be grateful that it is.
And he does talk about how he determined that, yes, there is a certain way. And he talks about it that it can't be that people succeed in a certain geography, because then everyone in that area would be successful and rich. It can't be that all people of a certain type are, you know, automatically succeed, because then everybody who is alike would have success, and that's simply not the case. So when he was trying to isolate what it is that made people successful, he developed this certain way. And he used, you know, rudimentary version of the scientific method to figure out step by step what had to be done. And it was a matter of gratitude, and it was a matter of visualization, and it was a matter of putting the process together so that you're making yourself available to this success, which is very important. And he talks about that also. There are certain things you have to do realistically. You know, if your goal is to open up a very successful ice cream store, you can't locate this ice cream store in the Arctic.
Yeah, he does a fantastic job in this. Really, I mean, it is theory a lot. However, he actually backs up his theory with practical exercises, just like you're talking about. He said, if one person practices this and gets rich, then there's a pretty good certainty that it works. And if more than one or several people do it, then it's positive proof that this happens until somebody proves that it doesn't. And he really uses this logic scientifically and just using reason to prove this whole thing out. And obviously the results are there.
And so many people have gone through this book and have seen the success that he talks about. I've seen it in my own life. I've seen other people read the book, take it to heart, and become successful. It really does work. And I think that's something that with all of the books we go through, to actually see something work over and over again, and to have people be able to understand it and be inspired by it to such an extent that they go out and develop their own certain ways, their own books. You said Napoleon Hill. We've talked about The Secret. This is really the starting point for the entire self-help industry.
Yeah, everything really, it all goes back to this. You know, we like to simplify things, but everything that books lay out examples for as far as the how-tos and so on and so forth, it all goes back to this simple, basic theory.
And it really is very simple. I mean, we've talked quite a lot about mindset, and it has been proven time and time again how important the positive mindset is. Not just in putting that imprint on the thinking stuff, but how that positive mindset affects the people around you. And that's something else he talks about, is that, again, when you visualize what your goal is, it doesn't magically appear. There are all sorts of other people involved in making this happen. So much of it revolves around your relationships with other people to make this happen. And the positive mindset is always a benefit in that, because if you're negative and you're complaining all the time and you're cranky, people don't want to help you. People don't want to be around you and spend time with you. So that positive mindset, which is really at the core of what he talks about, is more than just the metaphysical imaging. It also affects the relationships that you need to help you succeed.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the positive mindset is the creative mind that's full of gratitude and knowing that this is going to happen. Now, he talks about going from competitive to creative, and that's going from the yes buts to the yes ands, or however other way you want to put this. But as far as maintaining the positive mindset, that's what it's all about. It's going to the creative. It's feeling grateful about it, trusting that it's going to happen, having the definite mental image that it's going to work. And that's what everything leads to. And you have to understand that he talks about every person has to give a value in excess of the cash value that he receives. That goes back to unconditional giving without expecting anything in return. Each transaction has to make more for life in total. But he ends up saying, you know, the men and women who practice the foregoing instructions will certainly get rich. And the riches they will receive will be in exact proportion to the definiteness of their vision, the fixity of their purpose, the steadiness of their faith, and the depth of their gratitude. Powerful statement, but if you break that up into its components, again, it's right at the end of the summary. It's all right there in one paragraph.
Yeah, and it really is so powerful. And yeah, you know, one of the things you just mentioned is giving more than the value of your receiving. Well, we talked about that concept when we discussed the go-giver. And that whole concept comes from that switch to a creative mindset where you're accepting that there is more than enough for everyone. When you approach all of this from a point of view of lack, when you think there's not enough to go around and you have to get your share, that's when all of this falls apart. That switch to the creative mindset where you're accepting, yes, there is enough for everybody. Everybody can succeed. And you can help them do it. And that in turn helps you succeed.
Yeah, the lack is the competitive mindset. And reasoning things out with people, when we do talk about the unconditional giving, The bottom line is there are two recipients to whatever you give. Obviously, the person who you're giving to is a recipient, but that warmth that you feel in your heart or your soul or whatever you want to call it, in inner you, by giving unconditionally is exactly what we're talking about here. And that is the creative, that's the gratitude side of things and so on. And that is really, to me, that's the key, because that leads to fully trusting, believing in the process without wondering how it's going to happen, just trusting with gratitude that it's going to happen again and again and again.
Exactly. One of the other things he talks about in terms of switching your mindset is something a lot of people struggle with, and it's the mindset of wanting to be rich. So many people that equate money, is bad. Money's bad. You can't do anything. Money is the root of all evil. And he explains that you can't not want to be rich, because if you want to do the best work you can, you need money to have it, to do it. If you want to help other people, you need money to help them. If you want to grow your knowledge, your experience, it takes money to do that. And he explains that the money isn't the goal. The money is what allows you to do all the things you want. So you have to accept the fact that, yes, the way the world is set up, you need money to do these things. You can't think of getting rich as a bad thing. And so many people still to this day have that mindset that, oh, money is evil, wouldn't sully your hands with money. But that's sort of the operating system of reality.
Yeah, it's the facilitator. And that's what I look at. I mean, the rich thing, obviously people immediately think of, money and that kind of thing. And he says right in the book, he said the best way that you can help somebody who is poor is not by just making donations of them. It's by getting rich yourself and showing them how to get rich too. And the bottom line is if you're going to show them how to do that, you have to go through this whole process. And as this process never once, I think, mentions dollars and cents. It does mention what you're going to gain from it as far as rich goes. But rich is a very, very broad-based term as far as I'm concerned. And we both know and talk about it all the time that, rich is gratitude. It's everything else about you, of which the money and whatever material goods that you receive from it facilitate everything else. But those are not the end goals. And if they are, then you are in the competitive mode and this whole thing is not going to work.
All right. And he also talks about, what you should really be getting from this. You can't focus on a single thing. And he talks about this in terms of mind, body, and spirit. And you need to expand your mind, your body, and your spirit. You can't focus all of your energy on working on your body and ignore your mind. You can't just focus on enriching your spirit and ignore your body. It all has to work together. And because of that, the certain way is a very holistic method. It takes all three into account, and you have to improve all three in order for it to work.
Yeah, again, it's holding the vision in your thoughts, being deeply grateful to the Supreme that the desires are being granted, and spending your leisure hours contemplating the vision and being thankful for it, that the reality is going to be given to you. It's all about that. So, and that is the certain process of doing it. And if you deviate from it, then you're going to slip back from creative back into competitive. You're going to start thinking about lack, I need this, and so on and so forth. You have to throw the word need out of there.
Right. Once you come to terms with the fact that whatever you need is available and you're not competing for it, then the certain way starts to work for you. And there are other benefits as well. It takes away from your stress levels. It calms you. And that in turn has its own effects on your mind, your body, your spirit. So even more than just the direct process that he lays out, the benefits of doing this are tremendous. And they've been proven time and time again in studies, in other books. And that he came up with all of this in 1910 is absolutely amazing.
It was brilliant. In the terms of a famous beer commercial, it was absolutely brilliant.
We're coming up on the end of our time here today. So, Chip, what do you think is the big takeaway from The Science of Getting Rich?
Well, number one, get the book. But it's following the process, giving in excess of what you're looking to receive and going from into the creative mindset, being grateful. You have to follow all of the steps. And the last paragraph there that talks about people who practice the following instructions will certainly get rich, and the riches they will receive will be in exact proportion to the definiteness of their vision, fixity of their purpose, and the steadiness of their faith, and the depth of their gratitude. It kind of puts everything together. So, I mean, my takeaway is get the book, read it often, because it's really, really short. And if you put it to practice, things are going to be wonderful for you.
Absolutely. It is one of those things. If you get the book, if you get the audio book, go over it over and over again. When you feel like you're starting to drift, reread it, listen to it again, because it really does, as quick a read as it is, it really does help solidify your thinking. And I think the one big takeaway from it is that your mindset has to be that everybody can succeed. Once you start thinking selfishly, once you start thinking competitively, it starts to fall apart. So give everything you can, put forth into the universe everything you can, and it all comes back to you. You've been listening to The Success Showcase. You can catch us every week at blogtalkradio.com/successshowcase. You can also find us on the Xvadio website, the Apple Podcasts app, the iTunes Store, and wherever you find podcasts. Remember, make this your best week ever, and make next week even better. See you then.